Now, here's what's really fun, and I didn't realize this till afterwards, but Ron made a comment one time about the Chicago Bears. And even though Ron is one of the biggest REO realtors, he was going through some financial issues. So, and let me just preface this by telling all of you that this is one of the most memorable, happy moments of my life by doing this for him. Is he made a comment about the Chicago Bears a couple times, and this maybe over the course of a year. And I believe, JP, are you a football fan?
Not at all, actually.
See, I'm not. I don't really. You know, guys, I'm from Detroit. Lions suck. You know, so.
So you never had a reason.
I never really got into football. Plus, it's a Sunday thing, and I'm busy going to church and stuff. So, I never really. I love college football. I just don't really get into it. But I believe this was. I think it was maybe just a year ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago. But it was when Chicago was doing really good. And some of you are big football fans, and you're going to know when that is. So it was kind of near the end of the season, and I knew from previous months earlier that he had been talking about, you know, I just said, hey, how's it going? Well, I'm really bummed because I couldn't get down to the football game, and, you know, something about the Bears and the Bears and the Bears. So we'll come to find out. I think he grew up in Chicago, or for some reason he was a huge Chicago Bears fan. So here's what I did. And I knew he was kind of struggling financially. I did this whole elaborate scheme where I contacted his wife, and she was sworn to secrecy like a month before. And what we did is we lined up for him to go and stay in a hotel in Chicago, and I had to ask her. I said, well, what's your guys' schedule like? And it was kind of hard to coordinate all of it because he's very busy, and she's like, well, we got this thing and this thing. So with her, I got her phone number, and trust me, guys, she was a little bit like at first like, what the heck are you doing calling me? But I got past it, and I just said, here's the reason why. Ron's been great to me. I feel like it's a good friend, and I'd like to do this for him. So we arranged for him to go to Chicago, spend two nights, make a weekend out of it, spend two nights in this really fancy hotel downtown, got him the best two tickets that I could get. I don't know if they're the premier tickets or whatever. The whole thing might have cost me about $1,000. Now, I know some of you don't have $1,000 to throw around. I would estimate that because of him helping me line me up with the deals that I had made over $200,000 just with my relationship with him. So to me, $1,000 wasn't worth it. The point was is I didn't have to get crazy. I could have put him up in the Motel 6. I don't think it would have mattered. But what I did is it was so exciting to see the countdown and to see what was going to happen. So I gave the tickets to his wife, and basically the plan was that she was just going to get in the car and just go to Chicago. And I didn't tell him about it. She just did it. And the tickets were lined up and the hotel, and I think we got him. He loves steak, so I got him $100 thing at Capitol Grill, and just kind of created the whole weekend for him. And he called me up the next, you know, week afterwards, and he was just in tears. He's just like, nobody has ever taken the time to be that personal and do something that kind for me, and to really understand, you know, how much that I love the Bears and I love Chicago. And Bob, I haven't been away on a, you know, private weekend with my wife in years, and this is one of the most special things that you could have done for me. And as I look back at that, I can tell you that that's going to stick in my memory far longer than any deal that I'm going to do. And the relationship that I have with Ron is just, it is so strong. And I want to have those type of relationships with other people. Now, some people are a little bit more warm and fuzzy than other people. I haven't done that with every realtor, but I can tell you, and some of you may have heard this call, there's a guy called Stan, and Stan absolutely loves guns. And Stan is kind of crude and whatever, and he loves model boats and ships and stuff. I mean, I think he pays like, you know, like there might be 5 or 6 feet long, and I think he pays like $5,000-$10,000 for these things. I mean, what an absolute waste of money. But that's what he loves to do. And so every time that I go into Stan's office, I'm there for a reason to talk about real estate, but I take the time to ask him about all his stupid model boats and his guns, and he's got probably $250,000 in guns. But when I'm there, as I listen, I mean, it's pretty neat stuff, especially his guns. So one year for Christmas, I did something pretty cool where his son was in town, and we did a little surprise thing where he went to the gun shop. There's this gun shop that he loves to go to, and I asked him a couple weeks earlier, when's the last time you've been down to the gun shop? And, oh, I haven't been on there in 3 months, and man, I'm so busy, and these asset managers, and blah, blah, blah. So I did a thing where I found out through his son what kind of gun he was kind of eyeing, and it was $600, $800. And so I bought the gun for him, and kind of the same thing where had an arrangement to where his son surprised him, took him down to the gun shop, and, you know, he was able to test out his gun and all that. Now, he didn't call up, and he wasn't in tears like Ron was, but he was just like, man, that was really cool. That was like his way of saying, you know, this is something that was really, but either right. way, whenever I talk to Stan, I'm one of his favorite people. And now you guys may say, well, you did it for an agenda. I like talking to Stan because at first I may not have liked Stan, but here's what I've learned about people, magnetism, and human relations. You may encounter somebody that at first you really don't like, but as you take the time to learn about them, as you take the time to not focus on yourself and focus on them, as you take the time to take a serious interest and say, you know, I never really thought about collecting beach balls, but, hey, you know, tell me about your beach balls. And then to see the excitement in their face and to have them talk about their beach balls, you know, what happens is you start to like them more. They don't change. You change. And it's an amazing blessing that we get. I consider it a blessing from God that we get that. And I want to use another quick example that always comes to mind is, you know, I served a mission for my church, the LDS church. So I went over to England. And when I was in England, we have what we call companions. And basically we're a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds that are hormone crazy. And we're out there serving our church, and we have a big set of rules. You know, get up at 6 and go to bed at 10 and all sorts of things. And so you kind of need to have a companion with you all the time, unless you're like going to the bathroom or something. But basically, you have to be right there with each other to kind of keep an eye out on each other. And I had a companion who was English. And this guy was a fast talker. He's a little kind of runny guy. And he had a really sharp tongue, meaning he was very quick to criticize and rip on me. And, you know, I'm kind of a brand new missionary, so I'm still kind of learning how to, you know, develop my approaches when I walk up to peer strangers and start talking to them about our church. It's something that you don't quite get used to right off the bat. So I'd only been in England a couple months when I was with this guy. And this guy, I mean, JP, you've seen how I was and built. He used to be like, oh, you're fat, you're big oaf, you get in the way, you big muscle head. Just was always criticizing me. So one time we went over to some people that we had baptized in our church, and you know, they came to the door and they were smoking, which is a big no-no in our church. And basically at one point, you know, they had believed everything that I had taught them, and then they decided that they weren't going to go to church anymore, that they didn't want to go to the LDS church. As a missionary, this is devastating. This is because that's our whole purpose, is to help people join the church and get baptized. And to have someone do that and then to kind of revert backwards and to not want to go to church anymore, you take it very personally. And, you know, he made a comment to me that just cut me so deep. And it was something to the effect of, well, at least they weren't my baptisms, or at least I wasn't involved in teaching them. Because if I would have been, they wouldn't be doing that. And it was just something where I literally wanted to take him. He only weighed about 130 pounds and just strangle him. And I hated this guy. And here I am. I'm supposed to have compassion and good feelings towards everybody because I'm out there serving for 2 years for my church, 24 hours a day. And this guy, I mean, I was, and the wrestler in me was wanting to kick in and just really, really hurt this guy. And I had bad, bad feelings towards him. Now, here's what I learned. I started to do something kind to him every day, whether it was making him breakfast, shining his shoes. It's kind of hard. And I'll admit, the first couple times I did it, I didn't really do it with a very good attitude. What I found was, at first he criticized me. Oh, no, what are you doing? You little butt kiss and these type of things. It didn't matter. I just kept doing it. So after a couple weeks, there was this change that happened. And he started to do things that were kind to me. And so within another month or so, I felt like he was one of my best friends because I was doing things. And you may say, well, you became really good friends because he started to be nice to you. I don't think that's the case. I think what happened is because I kept doing things that initially maybe I didn't have a real pure desire to be his good friend, but I wanted to try to change the relationship, what changed was me. All of a sudden, the feelings I had changed within me. I believe that's a direct blessing that we get when we try to do kind things for other people. And some of you may be saying, oh my gosh, this is way too, like, you know, mushy, whatever. But I'm here to tell you that those things make a big difference. When you take a sincere interest in other people and want to do kind things for them, writing them a handwritten note is not only very professional, it's just nice. It shows that you care about people. And people care about you. And lo and behold, when that $40,000 deal opportunity comes along, you think they're going to try to go to the next guy who's pure business, does what he says he's going to do. He's got him on one hand and he's got you on the other hand. And what's going to make the difference? Now, here's the thing, is if you guys do this for purely a motive to potentially gain something on the back end, an opportunity might not come along for a very long time, if at all. But I can tell you, I believe in karma, if you want to call it that, reciprocity, but I believe that the more people that you do these type of things to, especially in the business world, the more the type of opportunities that I'm talking about will come back to you. I truly believe that. Have you ever noticed, and this is going into customer service a little bit, but have you ever noticed people who they're all about getting to the end result and then you never hear from them again? That's it. We did what we accomplished, boom, we're done. And there's nothing wrong with that. That happens a lot with what we do. All I'm saying is do a little bit of follow-up. When you get that first deal under contract, take the time to write a note to that realtor and to say, this was my first deal. You do not know how much this means to me. I appreciate you giving me the time to do this. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to do that for me, because this is the first one I've ever done. I've been nervous. You were patient with me. That meant a lot. That little follow-up, that sincere handwritten note, those little things will go so much further in developing potential business relationships down the road than it will be to just say, boom, 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 I did what I said I was going to do, bam, I'm on to the next deal. And you got to realize that mortgage brokers, realtors, other professionals understand this, but when they make it impersonal, like JP just talked about, then it doesn't do any good. You have to actually care about people to say, I spent 60 seconds or 2 minutes out of my life to write you a personal note. And just keep in mind that once you get that deal under contract, once you get to closing, that's where you can then take the time to ask them and really determine what it is that they like. What they like. And if you don't know how to get to that point, just ask them, this weekend's coming up, what do you like to do? What do you do in your spare time? What is it that you enjoy doing? I mean, it's straight to the point, but normally people talk about it. Well, not much. You know, I watch a few sports games and whatever. But that'll kind of, okay, what's their favorite sports team? What is it, you know, their kids, whatever it is. Some people like to talk about money, and money is their top priority. Whatever it is, talk about what they like to talk about. Once you get that, what I would suggest, and guys, just know that I'm not, I don't do this all the time. And when I say this, there's lots of things that I could do better. But I do this a lot with the people that are key and core to my business, is taking the time to write a little profile or a little note. Talk to the banker today. Banker really likes, you know, going to, and guys, here's another thing that you can always notice is when you go into their office, just look at what's up on the walls. Just look at what's around them. What, you know, a lot of times you can get a sense of what they really enjoy just by what's there. And those little things just go such a long way and tell people that you really care, that they're going to set you apart from the crowd. That's what I mean when I talk about people magnetism. I've just given you a few examples. Overall, that's, JP, the core of what I wanted to share with people, where I've seen direct results that have come from that. And especially committing to people, I'm looking at the back of this book, it's $7.99 U.S. dollars to get this book, paperback, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I think I've read this book at least 5 or 6 times. I probably need to reread it again because there's a lot of things that I forget, and I read that and go, ah, crap, haven't been doing that. You know, I'm flipping through it right now, and it's like, you know, it's talking about how to handle complaints. What do I do? Let the other person do a great deal of talking. How to get cooperation. I mean, I'll kind of look at this and go, ah, dude, I'm not doing that at all. But once you practice at it and make it a priority in your life to do these things, you will start to attract people. People will want to start to be around you. Then it's going to become second nature, and before you know it, you're going to be a successful person like Sean McCloskey, who's able to influence hundreds and hundreds of people, and people will buy his $2,000 boot camp just because they like him. That's the only reason they're buying it. And they may not ever apply short sales again, but they just like it, and that's a pretty hefty price tag for the product that he sells. But he sells a lot of it, and it's because of that. It's those people magnetism skills. And in my mind, this is the way that you develop it. You got to really like people. Now, some of you may not like people. Having the desire to like people, taking the time to ask some personal questions, is going to go a very long ways. For me, I've seen many, many benefits. There are many realtors. Those are the two key stories that come to my mind, but there's been many realtors that have given me a call and said, man, I just really, really like you. There's a realtor who I have a great relationship with who's Polish, and I just had to break up a deal via email with her yesterday with some coaching students. I had to break it up, and I just said, listen, I really apologize for this, and boom, 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 I'm here in Utah. And, you know, guys, I normally never break up a deal, but I had to break up this one, and it didn't affect it. She knew the type of person I was, and I've taken many, many times when she was just kind of a lowly little, only got 10 listings realtor, and I learned all about her. She's from Poland. She works with the Polish community. I learned about some of the holidays that they do, what's key with them, and I've made comments and got out of my way to do things for that with her. And it cemented a relationship that You know, it, I mean, I haven't talked to her in probably a year. But one little email, and she's like, I know the type of person you are. She feels a connection with me, and boom, we move on. Business keeps going. So those are the benefits that I've seen, just thinking of realtors. I'm not even thinking of the other things. And I've seen key dollars come in from it. So it's really it's an amplification thing, but hopefully I shared some things that will benefit some of you down the road, especially when you're interacting with these realtors, mortgage brokers, and those type of people.
Okay. Listening to you share what you've just shared, I'm struck by just a couple of things that I think may be worth mentioning as well. First of all, I mean, really what we're talking about here is the idea that give and you shall receive. And it's kind of a universal law, right? It's not like, give this specific thing and you'll receive that specific thing. But there is a universal law that give and you shall receive, or Sean's tagline, his logo, his slogan, if you will, is give first. Mm-hmm. And clearly he's somebody who lives by that as well. It can be as simply stated as that, but there's a couple of things that this is not what you're describing. First of all, I know some people are going to be listening to this and they're thinking, well, you know, I think this is kind of a personality thing. You know, Bob's personality fits this well, and Sean's personality fits this well, but I'm not wired like they are, and it doesn't fit my personality. And I want to shoot that down right away. This is not a personality thing. This is an intentional choice, without changing your personality at all. This is a choice you make to make small investments into people that yield large returns. And it's not... It's also not manipulation. You know, you're not the Godfather here. You mentioned this earlier, but it's not like, you know, you guys have seen the Godfather. It's not like you're, one day I may call you, and that day may never come, but you're going to owe me. It's not that kind of thing at all. You can acknowledge the universal law that give and you shall receive, but you shouldn't, you know, make an investment into someone thinking, okay, now it's time for them to reciprocate. All right, so... All right, I did something cool for them, so now they've got to really, you know, they kind of owe me. That's not the way that you should approach it. It's just a matter of acknowledging that this is the way things work, and I can operate under it, and you have to kind of live under it as a general rule. But it really, I like some of the examples you gave, Bob, because they really illustrate that sometimes you might do big things for people, big investments in them. Sometimes it might just be little things like asking them about something that they care about that you don't care diddly about, or sending them a birthday card, you know? But if you just live your life asking yourself, how can I give into people and invest into people, you will become a magnetic person, someone who people not only want to be around and are attracted to, but want to be like. So, I mean, I'm not saying anything, you know, that's different than what you said in any way, but those are some of the thoughts that were racing through my head. There's also a book that, in addition to How to Win Friends and Influence People, I'd like to toss out there. It's a really short book. It's a quick read. It's called The Fred Factor. And it's about basically this, the author, it's by Mark Sandborn, Sandborn, and the foreword is by John Maxwell. And the idea is this guy had a mailman who basically lived his life and did his job with passion and was a very, very magnetic person, not a dynamic personality, but, you know, somebody who consistently wowed people by little small things. And I'll just read to you from the back. It says, "Service is the heart of leadership, and one of the finer compliments you could ever receive is, you're a Fred. I urge you to read this engaging, insightful book and find out why. Become a Fred. It will enrich your life by showing you how to enrich the lives of others and create raving fans." So it's called The Fred Factor.
That sounds like a great book. That's a book I haven't heard of. And, I mean, part of me wants to send all these books out to you guys. I don't know, maybe there's something, JP, that we can do as a bonus or something to get these. I mean, this is a $10-$20 investment, and these books just go such a long ways. And You know, JP, I appreciate your comments. I know from you as a person, and I know that you are a religious man, and I am, and some of you may not be, but I think most people understand that there's some universal principles that can be applied. And again, if you will embrace these, or even if you're not sure that they work, but you are willing to give them a shot, you will start to see the real benefits that come from that. And you know, one thing that I want each of you to, there's two remaining thoughts. First of all, we live in a very impersonal world. With technology advances, and it's amazing to me. I mean, have you ever seen how teenagers communicate now? It's just amazing. It's so impersonal. They got their little short way of doing texts and this and that, and we go out of our way to do all these other ways to communicate, but the communication gets less and less and less impersonal. Relationships get more and more distance between people, parents, friends, coworkers, and sometimes it drives me nuts how far away from connecting with people we've got when it comes to all this technology. So, you know, when I think, what are ways that I can do that? Technology is one way, but I really believe that using technology to communicate and work with people is not an effective medium to do that, to accomplish that. A phone call goes such a long ways. Delivering a message in person, dropping a card, handwriting a note, doing those type of things, I mean, it just means so much more. In fact, I think a lot of times we do email because we're chicken. And I'm not saying normal email. I'm talking about those emails where you want to tell someone you're frustrated with them, or you want to accomplish something that, is a little bit difficult or strained, and you can do it in email, or it's a way for us to vent or to do whatever. We can accomplish that through email. And so sometimes I cannot stand that, and I want to just challenge you to try to consider getting outside and just try to think, is this a personal thing or impersonal? And just think about the average person's day in the business world. Think about how many impersonal transactions and people that they come across. And none of us are meaning to do it. It's just we're so busy, we're focused on making money, worried about the economy and what the crap is Obama doing. It's just we have so many other things on our mind. And just understand that people don't care about you. They care about themselves. That's human nature. So make yourself different and say, I care about you too. I'm not worried about myself. And what you'll find is, and I can promise you this, is those people who have the faith, who believe that by helping others that they are going to receive benefits from doing that. And again, it's not the, like you said, JP, it's not the, hey, I'm going to dangle this favor over you, because that never works. That never works. In fact, that just repels people. But what I'm talking about is where you just believe in general, I'm going to help other people and good things are going to come to me. And there may be crap that comes to you afterwards, but in general, it is a true principle. I can testify of that. I know that for a fact. When you care about other people, good things start to happen. That's always the case. That when you look at me and analyze my relationships just with realtors, look at all the good things that happen. They don't happen right away. They don't happen with every person, but they do happen. And when they happen, it may not happen until a couple years later, or it may come in the form of someone else who just said, your name came up one night, and so-and-so was just saying such good stuff about you, so I thought I'd give you a call, and boom, here you go. And I believe that, just like Sean does, of give first. So by making it a priority to take a sincere interest in people and helping people and being involved in people's lives, you're going to gain from it financially. Now, here's another little thought I wanted to share. The most successful people in this world are people who have people magnetism. Now, you may say there may be temporary anomalies that come in with that. And I can think of some of the CEOs in this world who are not people magnets. But for the long term, the most successful people are not those who are the most skilled at finding a deal, at negotiating, at knowing how to analyze financial statements, who got a strong marketing background. It's the people who are people magnets. I can testify to that. Look at the most successful people. In fact, I wish I could think of his name. I know Dale Carnegie talks about him. It's the guy who ran the steel industry, and I cannot think of his name. But he basically went from making $100,000 a year to $1 million a year for one reason. And that was back in like the 1920s, which $1 million then is probably like, now 10, 20 million a year now. And that was that his ability to interact with people. And because of that, when I read that, it just dawned on me that the most successful people are the people who have influence, who develop those relationships, and then they can draw upon their influence to get things done, to collaborate, to bring people together, to motivate them, to get them to do things, and to work together because they know that you care about them. There's that little saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is the thing that if you guys can take that away and the things that JP said, hopefully that will just be a benefit to you. And if anything, this is more of a philosophy, a general approach with what I'm asking you to do, because I've seen tremendous benefits from it. I just hope that these things you can just apply them and see the same benefits. And ultimately, what are we doing? Why are we flipping houses? JP, why are you doing all the marketing? Why are we doing all this stuff? So that we can have relationships. You can't take this money with you. When you die, you can take your relationships and memories, and that's it. And if you have those relationships in place, you know, and it's, guys, and I know I'm just kind of rambling. I'm just about ready to finish up here. I read that big, fat book. It was 800 pages long about Warren Buffett. It's called The Snowball. JP, have you heard or read that book?
No.
It's huge. It is 800 pages long. It is like the world's thickest book. It is fascinating. It is the most detailed autobiography of Warren Buffett ever. And as you guys know, second richest guy in the world. And as you read his book, there's one striking thought that came through over and over and over. His relationship with his family sucks. And as he's got $60 billion, he said in a group of college students, none of this is worth it. None of this is worth it if you don't have a good relationship with your family and the ones that you care about. So sometimes we get so focused on, gotta get a deal. And I'm not saying that you don't focus on getting the deal. All I'm saying is while you're doing that, go through and try to think long term. And really successful people always think long term. How can I have a long term relationship with this person? How can I somehow personally connect with them in a way that other people don't even take 5 minutes to do? And if you could just sit down and think of, I mean, if you could handwrite a couple letters once a week for 15 minutes and do that every week for the rest of your life, you're going to see huge benefits that come from it. So these are just a few little things. Hopefully they help. JP, do you got any other thoughts or things to add?
No, man. I said it. Good stuff, though, and I 1,000% agree.
Good. So this is going to go out. I need to take care of my business with you later on, but I'll just get this recording, this MP3 format out to you so that we can post it, right?
Yep.
Okay, I think it comes through email in the next day or two, and then we'll just put that out there and get flipping.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate
thanks.
It.
All right.
Bye-bye.